Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Go Higher West Yorkshire UniConnect podcast. I'm Jake from Kirklees College, and as always, I'm joined once again by Leanne from Leeds Arts University. Hello, Leanne.
Hi everyone, missed
you. Leanne doesn't want me to ask how she is today, because she thinks that you don't care, so I'm not going to. So this month, we're going to be starting a bit of a double bill, which isn't something we've done before. Over the next two episodes, we're going to be looking at the student life when studying at higher education. So that can be things like timetables, that can be the type of lectures and seminars you have, and sort of having a little bit of a dive into that. And then next month, we're going to have a look at the social side of studying. So that'll be a bit more of the making friends, what it's like to live at uni, sort of different pieces like that. So first off, we're going to have a chat with Laura McGregor from the University Centre Leeds. Hello, Laura.
Hi there.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for coming on. First off, do you want to introduce yourself and just sort of say what your role is and what you do at the University Centre Leeds?
Yeah, definitely. So I work in widening participation and outreach at the University Centre. And we deliver outreach to schools, colleges, out in the community to widen participation and get underrepresented groups into higher education.
Nice, sounds cool. So, and how long have you been at the University Centre there?
So I've been there for 3 years and really enjoy working as part of the WP team.
Cool. So do you feel like in that time you've been there, sort of you got quite an insight as to how it works when looking at sort of, I guess, all sorts of different types of providers and what it's like to study like a university or in higher level education?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's quite there's quite a range of opportunities available, different qualifications, different institutions you can go to. So it's good to kind of navigate yourself through that map, and yeah. I really enjoy kind of working with young people to guide them through those next steps that they've got after they've finished their education.
Nice. Did you go to university yourself?
I did,
Where did you study?
I studied at Sheffield.
Sheffield, nice.
Yes, I studied criminology and law. Really enjoyed it. It was a very exciting experience for me and completely changed who I was as a person in that 3 years. I'm sure you'll all agree with me that you had similar experiences.
Yes.
Definitely. I think that's one of the good things we have about this podcast is that everyone that comes on as a guest not only works in some capacity around higher education or something, but they've also been through it themselves. So when we're asking these questions, you're getting not only the response of someone professional who's worked in it, but actually you're also going to get insights of people that, whenever it was, but like they've been through that process themselves.
Yeah. Ex-students.
Yes. Yeah. We're all alumni of different universities here.
Of higher education.
Higher education. Yes. Perfect. So this week, well, this month, we're going to talk a little bit about the academic side of what it's like to study at higher education. So I guess just to sort of start off, it's kind of putting you on the spot a little bit, but what does that sort of mean to you? If I sort of said to you the academic side of studying, how would you sort of like interpret that, and how would you sort of describe that to a student, what it's like to study in higher education?
I guess studying at higher education or at a university is quite different from school. So the main element of that is your independence. Mm-hmm. You're encouraged to be independent with your own learning, with your own research, and that really kind of drives what each and every day will look like. I'd say that the kind of formal teaching that you receive will only kind of give you the background knowledge, whereas all the extra stuff that you'll do alongside that, for example, your own reading, research about topics, will fill in that detail and kind of develop your thinking a bit further.
It's a lot more expected of you as a student, I guess, when you're in a higher education. There's a bit more responsibility for you to go out and learn and to get a bit more of the knowledge yourself, so you get like the key elements of it, and then it's you to go out there and really apply that and sort of further that.
Yeah, definitely. But I guess on the back of that, there's the benefit of not being kind of hassled by tutors that you might get in school or college. Mm-hmm. And that's building that independence in your kind of in your practice. Mm. The big element of that is time management, right? So I think a lot of our students find one of the things that provides them with most tools or kind of success is to manage their time effectively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We've had quite a few student ambassadors that have come on the podcast. And I think whenever we ask for a top tip, sort of like time management and research and things like that, is always, no matter what we're talking about, it always comes up. So I think that's something that, yeah, that's something that as you're transitioning from sort of studying in a school or college into higher education, yeah, it really is apparent, isn't it? What about, so when you're studying sort of academically, how does that, what does that look like? So do you have, obviously when you're in school, you just have class maybe sort of 6-7 times a day. What's the sort of typical week look like for a student that's in higher education?
So your week will be made up of lectures and seminars. So the lectures obviously will be in a large space. So you'll be able to listen to your tutor about a topic, and you'll learn about one particular area of your subject within those lectures. And then you'll have seminars. So those small groups, which kind of give you an opportunity for discussion and development of ideas and thinking. And these are slightly more informal, so it gives you opportunity to kind of put your opinion forward, have debate, and being able to kind of discuss things with your fellow students and with your tutors as well.
And that varies course to course, doesn't it? So you have your lectures, you have your seminars and your tutorials, which are all sort of different styles of learning, but each course will have a varying degree of that. So some courses you'll have sort of like 4 or 5 lectures a week perhaps, whereas others you might have 2 lectures a week, but you'll have other seminars and maybe practical workshops. So it really varies depending on what course you're studying, is that right?
Yeah, definitely. For us, so with us being based in, we're college-based higher education, so we have quite a condensed timetable. Most of our subjects are taught on 2 days per week, so you do 2 full days, and then for the rest of your week it'd allow you time to kind of independent study or go on to part-time work or maybe other commitments, like if you're a parent or something. So with that kind of time management I mentioned earlier, it allows you to build your week and ensure that you're doing everything that you need to do by the end of it.
So what would you say are the main differences between studying in a college-based education and higher education?
So I guess colleges tend to offer more vocational-based courses with employment experiences kind of throughout that your study. So dependent on your subject and course, there could be elements like practical workshops, and you might have a laboratory session, or it'll allow you to put your theory into practice and develop those skills alongside that. So a good example of that is one of our creative arts courses, creative hair and media makeup. This one is taught at our creative arts campus in the centre of Leeds, but then also it's half there, and then the other half is taught at Prime Studios. So it's one of the kind of largest independent film and TV studios in Yorkshire.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It allows students to develop kind of a wide range of skills when they're studying, but also they get those practical elements, so they're working within a live environment.
Wow.
And developing those contacts or networks with people that are around the kind of studio itself. And that's a really key element that we kind of fit into all of our degrees, and think it's important that they walk away with those skills as well.
Yeah, especially if that's what you want to do, something practical, you need that hands-on experience, and it's so invaluable to be provided that within an educational setting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so throughout the majority of our degrees, they're developing a lot of skills alongside their academic study to prepare them for those next steps, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as someone that works in a FE college that provides a HE course, so a degree programme, I think as well, like, you're getting up to having smaller classes and a bit more sort of one-to-one sort of touch time with your tutors and things. So it is a little bit more personalised, whereas sort of like some of the bigger institutions, you might have sort of like faster resources, and there'll be a lot more students, and the different types of studies different, but yeah, you get that in that like smaller environment, you do get that sort of more niche more sort of like touch and distance from your tutors, which is quite nice. And I guess on the flip side of that, there's positives about studying at a big university, isn't there? So I think sort of a lot more sometimes the resources you get, sometimes the contact that you get with employers at universities, they have loads of contacts a lot of the time, and a lot of people do sort of placements and things like that. So there's loads of differences between the two. I just wondering if you could you go through maybe a couple more of like the sort of other things that on the flip side of that that the bigger institutions have.
I think what you say about size is the biggest difference, isn't it? And like you said, in college-based higher education, you are in a smaller class size, which means that you can kind of really get to know your tutors and things. Mm-hmm. But then maybe the benefit of going to a larger institution is that your network will be much bigger. Mm-hmm. You'll have lots of different opportunities available. Maybe you can access a lot of different services. But a big element of that would be that you have that independence, and it's really up to you what you do with all those resources and opportunities that are available to you.
Yeah, I think something that we didn't touch upon that we can think of in terms of colleges or higher education is that probably for the first time in your life as a student, you're only doing what you want to do exclusively all the time. So academically, you chose to be here, and everything you're learning about is going towards this active choice, what you want your life to look like and the studies that you want to do, which is so, so amazing coming from school or A-levels where you have to do a variety of things that you may not have chosen to do for yourself.
Yeah, completely. I think that whilst I keep coming back to the word independence, it is really important, isn't it? Like, these are the steps that you kind of take to move forward in life and develop things alongside your academic skills. Critical thinking is the big thing that we always discuss, because it's really kind of developing your own ideas and putting forward your own research and things like that, which really maybe define your future, make you choose your next steps.
Yeah, definitely. I think something else that is really sort of crucial to think about when you're, again, it's kind of about that difference between when you're studying at a school or college level and going up to the higher education. Not only are you studying something that is solely what you want to study, but the way you study is very different as well. So you'll select your own modules in a lot of courses, and you'll be studying different elements of one area, if that makes sense. So you'll have
a subject. Specialists as well.
Yeah, you have specialists. And you have, so I studied TV and film production, for example, but I didn't just have 3-4 lectures about TV and film production. I'd have one lecture about sort of script writing. I'd have a lecture about production. I'd have sessions about post-production. You'd have sort of workshops where you actually use equipment and things like that. So the way it actually looks, your week looks, is very different to when you're at college. It's not just sort of a standard set of lessons and you cover different areas in that. Everything you do is sort of encompassing that one subject, which is very different. I think that's sort of something that when you're sort of applying to university, when you're thinking of applying to university, it's sort of something to be excited about, but also to be aware of. And every institution, I think, it differs slightly. Some are a lot more theory-based, some are a lot more practical-based. And I think that's something that you should sort of look into when you're applying for university, and make sure you're applying for somewhere that have a look at the way that the academic sort of elements work there, because they'll have that information on their website, and their course sort of profile will detail that. And you need to make sure that you're applying for somewhere that suits you and how you learn and how you work. And I think we spoke about, and we will talk about next week, what it's like to live at university, and sort of considering those things is really important. Actually, it's also really important to think about what you're studying and how you're studying it.
I think on that point as well, you know, at school you're following a curriculum, and at higher education there is no curriculum, so the courses with exactly the same title will be different at different institutions, and it often reflects kind of like the specialism of the university staff or the research staff, etc. It shows that you need to do a little bit of research and shop around and have a look at the different courses with the same name at different institutions to know what you're signing up for and what's right for you, really.
Yes, yeah. I like that you use the word shop around, because it kind of suggests that you are the consumer, so you have all the power. So it's up to you to research those different institutions with the same degree title, like you said, and then see which one of those suits you based on things like the modules and the specialism, whether there are equipments that play a role in your choice as well.
Definitely, because I think, like we said at the beginning of the podcast as well, that the way you learn and sort of you have a lecture and there's a lot more expectation of the student to do some learning and to sort of do that growing as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sort of like that comes in there a bit, doesn't it? That it's a lot more creative, it's a lot more collaborative style of learning.
Yeah.
And that's on any course that you study on, whether that's sort of a medical course, whether it's a creative course, mm-hmm. Finance. There's differing elements in all of them, and the way that you study that sort of is reflected in that.
Yeah. So let's say as a student you chose your university with the right course, you've done your research and you go to your lectures, you go to your seminars. What else are you expected to do outside of those two things?
So with the nature of independent learning, you'd go away from each lecture or seminar with some notes, which you'd want to kind of condense into your own words to ensure that you understand it and you've gained that knowledge from those sessions. And then you're usually working towards an assignment, mm-hmm. or perhaps in your final year you'd be working on a longer project like a dissertation. But it really depends on each course, really.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ours are practical based, so our creative courses, they're working on projects all the way through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Or then we do have some of the more kind of some of our STEM subjects, they might be working on 3 or 4 different assignments at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And do the institutions provide a space for learning and studying?
Yeah, so pretty much every institution that you'll go to will have a library space and an area to receive or to get any kind of academic support. So, for example, at our place, we've got 2 libraries. One of them is based in our main campus, and that one's accessed by all students.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got one that's specific for just creative arts students. So that means that a lot of the books and the referencing that you can get there is really specified for that area.
Mm-hmm.
You touched on saying sort of like the support that students can get in the libraries and things like that. So I guess that's for like their research and when they're sort of looking for that specific textbook they can't find. But it's interesting to think, what academically other support is there available for students when they're studying?
So you mentioned earlier about tutorials. You'll get an option of having one-to-one time with your tutors.
Mm-hmm.
And within that time, it's really your kind of prerogative to have conversations with your tutors about anything that you might want to develop, your academic skills, maybe your writing skills, or it might be something like referencing that you've got coming up, so you want to talk to them about that. So in that time, you've got the opportunity to kind of make the most of it. Alongside tutorials, you'll get academic skills opportunities. For example, at our place, we do like drop-in sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come in and sit with fellow students and work through things. So you've got that kind of peer-to-peer support.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a whole team of additional learning support officers that will be able to kind of guide you through some of the less familiar things that you might not have learned in school.
Yeah, I think it's important to say, like, that support is available at every institution
yes,
as well. So
definitely.
No matter where you end up studying, whether it's FE-based, whether it's a traditional university, the support academically is there. Like, your tutors are there to support you. It's sort of their first sort of priority, really.
Yeah.
And there is also sort of that element of like the extra workshops and things that support you can get. There's always stuff being ran to help you, like you say, with referencing, things like that.
Oh my gosh, referencing. I remember when I first joined uni, I did not know how to reference. We just never did it in school and I really struggled. But our library put on workshops where they literally taught you exactly how to reference, mm-hmm. and it changed my life.
Yeah,
I'm now an expert referencer.
Coming to you with all my referencing needs.
Yeah, your tutors will assist you in that transition as well. So maybe you're learning skills that you might not have done in school or college. They'll help you kind of get to grips with studying and learning more independently. And there's so many tools available. So they'll teach you the mechanisms, the tools, the kind of systems and programs to actually help you kind of develop those skills yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like each school as well, so each school of study will have some sort of support system in place. So yeah. If you are struggling with anything, you can go there, whether that's academically, whether that's mentally, things like that. Obviously, you have a lot of deadlines and a lot of things like that around it. We sort of mentioned before that you might have a dissertation that you're working on, you have an assignment you're working on, an exam that you're working towards. And you can sort of, when you talk to your tutors, there is options for sort of getting extensions and then things like that are obviously there to support you. Academically, it is a step up and some of this stuff is a challenge, and the tutors are there to help you and to support you and to make sure that you're doing your best that you can do to get a good grade. And
I mean, we have to remember that they want you to succeed. Mm. You know, it's best for everyone if you do amazingly well. So everyone there will be rooting for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, when you're in a FE setting, that is sort of like the tutors. You have that, as we said earlier, the one-to-one touching space. And when, even in the bigger institutions, your tutors will still be doing that, but you'll also have teams set up to help with that across the curriculums. What can students be doing now? Sort of students are in school. What can they be doing to prepare for higher education?
Well, we mentioned earlier about time management, and I think that that's probably step number one. To prepare yourself to make those... kind of organize your weeks properly would be really, really useful to do now. You're already developing those skills, obviously, at school and college by attending things on time and making sure that you've got your homework in on time and things like that. I think it's always good to kind of practice what it's going to be like in reality. So we always say, like, if you've got the time to kind of look at your week and prioritise some of your activities during that, maybe you've got other commitments that you need to fit in and they would maybe come first. And then you could fit in things that you're actually really excited to do during the week, maybe have a little bit of relaxation time and time for yourself and plan that week just so you can have a look what it might be like when you're studying.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well that, like Liam was saying, before you went into higher education, you had no idea what reference it was.
No.
Absolutely no idea.
None.
So I think it's things like that as well that, I mean, from listening to, if you're listening to this podcast, then you're already sort of doing that first step, but it's researching the type of things that will be happening when you're at university, and whether that's referencing, whether that's sort of self-studying, whether that's revision methods and things like that, that it's important to sort of try and be aware of those as you're sort of like approaching that. If you're in your sort of your final year and you're really building up to that, then you can have a look. There's loads of resources out there. There's resources on Go High West Yorkshire's website. There's resources on each institution's website also has resources and support around that. And you can start to get a look at that. No one's saying you have to go write an essay and reference it as practice, but even just sort of reading up on it and getting a general gist of how it works is going to be massively supportive. Yeah,
you'll be doing yourself a favour just so you're not overwhelmed when you first step inside that different institution.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you've already made your decision and you kind of know where you want to go and maybe you've received a conditional offer, I think it's good practice to have a look on their website, like you said, look at what resources are available. But also, quite a lot of the universities release their reading lists for courses early on. So if you're able to get a hold of one of those reading lists and prepare yourself in the summer or just have a look at them, it can be really quite helpful for you when you start. You've got that kind of a kickstart. And also with that, it means that you may be able to pick up some of the books secondhand. They might, you're buying them before everyone else, but it depends where you're going. You might not need to buy all the books. You might only need one or two essential ones.
Yeah, last month's episode, we were talking about student finance and we were talking a bit about budget and money and things and how buying a load of books for university can be a real struggle. And we were sort of saying that it's important to take advantage of, but not only the libraries at your institution, but just libraries in general. A lot of the books that you're sort of going to be asked to look at or books that will be really useful to learn about going to education are available. And they're also available online as well, a lot of them now. Mm-hmm. So I think just to go listen to last month's episode, guys, tips on how to save money.
I think that was one of the great kind of products of the pandemic, if I can say such a thing. Was that a lot of resources were put online and certainly at our institution you can collect everything on there rather than having to have physical copies. Yeah,
definitely. I just want to touch on assessments and the sort of grading and how that works, and that will be different on every sort of every institution, and that will be different between an FE college and a traditional university as well. But I guess it's important to note how you submit assignments and things like that, and how you get graded on that.
Yeah, definitely. So it varies per course, mm-hmm. but I think in general our assignments, you're kind of working towards them in each semester. So you'd mm-hmm. You would maybe have three modules in your first few months, and then at the end of that time you'd be submitting an assignment based on that subject area. For us, you'd submit it via Turnitin, mm-hmm. Which you may be familiar yes. with. But
Turnitin was my best friend and my worst friend at the same time.
As soon as you start, you'll become very familiar with Turnitin if you become a university student. And there are some elements where you might be working towards something for the whole year. Mm. So it might be a major project, and you'll be working on that with various different elements throughout the year, and mm-hmm. then submit it right at the end.
Yeah. I was going to say that this is a really important point to consider as a student in terms of choosing your course as well. So academically, how do you prosper the most? How do you succeed the best? So for me, for example, I knew that I didn't like exams. I didn't find them Leanne friendly at all. So I specifically chose a course where I knew I wouldn't have to do any exams. I did a film studies degree, and I mainly did things like essays and group projects. So I think that's something really important for you as a student to consider going forward.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely. I think you've got to weigh up, and that's why open days and shopping around, as we mentioned earlier, is really important, because you can see what the assessment methods are.
Yeah.
We tend to focus on assignments rather than exams mm. because our students prefer that, like you said yourself. And I think that that's mainly just due to them preferring those practical skills. Yeah. So they're wanting to develop something that can be kind of used in the future. So they're developing yes. those skills rather than something more exam focused.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say, though, I think a lot of students from school and college, they're used to examinations. Yeah. So that might be their preferred method of assessment as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're always sort of prepared for that. Your tutors, and like they sort of real prepare you for that. It can be very stressful. We're not going to sort of try and hide away from that fact. But you will more than likely go into that exam with all the knowledge you need. You will have been that will be delivered to you, and you will have had sort of ample opportunity to develop on that yourself and do your revision and prepare for that. And yeah, as we say, you're sort of studying something that's a bit more passionate, a bit more streamlined to you. So hopefully the exams are a little bit less stressful
mm-hmm.
because you're not forced into an exam about something you have no idea about and you really struggle with. So I think a lot of people sort of have these, and fair enough, they have these sort of views on exams, and they get sort of really stressed out by them, or they really hate them, et cetera, et cetera. But these exams they're more tailored for you. They're about subjects that you know about and that you care about. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit less of a stressful experience.
Yeah.
Just before we sort of like end up winding up this session, could you just go through what the first week's like? Because academically, I'm sure there's a lot of students listening to this podcast, and it's interesting to me, and I guess we can all give our experiences of what our first weeks were like, but just from your perspective, what's that first week look like? Again, I know it would depend on the course and the institution, but roughly, would you be able to sort of describe that for them?
Yeah, so your first week will be full of various different activities and opportunities that you can opt into. But then the induction week, which we have, is relatively structured. So mm. you'd go in on your first day, meet your tutors and meet your fellow students, and get a really good feel of what it's going to be like in that space.
Yeah.
You'd get a tour of the building and or where you're going to be situated, and you'd be introduced to all the different support teams. Perhaps you'll receive a talk from one of the support workers, maybe in our mental health team or yeah. in our additional learning team. Then you'd be given your tools. So at our place, we have every student receives a Chromebook, mm. so they'll get that in the first week and kind of get you all set up, really.
Yeah.
And it gives you a chance to get a feel of what it's like, but also kind of know exactly where you need to be and what you need to do moving forward, really.
Yeah, I think that's sort of important to say that across the board. And yeah, I'm sure of your experience of sort of studying and working at the Arts University, and from my experience of studying and working at Coke College, the induction week is a soft launch. Your first week is you're looked after, you are sort of shepherded around, you'll be shown sort of all the facilities, you'll be introduced to people, and you'll have sort of a warm up and get to know week of what you're going to be doing over the next sort of year or 3 years. And what your staff members are like, what your other students around you are like, it's quite a fun, relaxing week. I'd say it feels really stressful, but I think once you get into it and you realise, okay, this week isn't going to be some sort of, I'm really got to take all this information in terms of it's not going to affect me in however many months I've got an exam or an assignment due. It's sort of designed and built to support you into that. That transition from your old studying life to your new studying life.
Yeah,
and there's usually free pizza.
Always free pizza. Always go to your induction weeks and freshers week. We're going to talk about this next week because it's really good. But free pizza is always worth mentioning. Definitely. Okay, I'm gonna change it up this month, like, because you know this is like a famous segment now that we have. So I'm gonna be like. Do. Oh, it's time for our famous segment, three top tips. Ooh. So, Laura, could you please give us your three top tips for anyone that's studying at university or higher education?
Yes, okay. Number one is time management. I think we've said it throughout the session. Make sure you know exactly where you need to be and what you need to do each week, and you'll be so prepared for every eventuality. Number two is take advantage of your tutors and the support available to you. Work out what that is and make sure that you're really using everything that's available. And number three is bring a positive attitude and be really, really open to any opportunities that come in your way, because that can really lead to building your network, making sure that you know your next steps after you finish studying, and allow you to make the most of your time.
I love that. Be open. Yes, be open, everyone.
Yeah. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it, don't you?
Yes. So,
three top tips. Time management, take advantage of the support around you, and have a positive attitude and really dive into it. So, yeah, thank you so much, Laura. You've been an amazing guest. Thank you for your top tips and for your... just like your information, your knowledge, and you sort of your positive attitude to the academic world. So,
thank you for having me.
No, you've been amazing. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you for sticking with us, guys. So we're still talking about the academic side of studying at a further education college that offers a higher education course or a university. So we've actually been joined, haven't we, Leanne, by a couple of student ambassadors. So I don't know if you guys want to introduce yourself, if we come over here first.
So I'm Katie, I study photography at Leeds Arts University.
Nice, lovely. And we also have...
And I'm Al, I'm on my second year HND music production at Wakefield College.
Lovely. Welcome to the podcast, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. So we've just been chatting to Laura, who's from a college based in Leeds. And we've been talking to her about sort of like what it's like for students studying in an academic sense and what their experiences are like. So we kind of want to hear firsthand from you guys. So would you sort of be able to just quickly, I guess, as a starter, go through what it's been like for you studying in your respective institution, because you're both from different types of institutions. Mm-hmm. We've got Wakefield College here, which is sort of, as I sort of said in the intro, it's a sort of smaller, more intimate setting for you to be able to study, where you study sort of a higher education-based degree in an FE college. And then also we've got sort of a slightly more, Leeds Arts University is sort of one of the more creative universities, but it's still a university. So yeah, it'd be great to hear from you guys on your experiences.
Yeah, for me, it's just being in a small place. You get that relationship with your tutors. Mm. Everyone's sort of close-knit. Everyone knows everyone. It's like being from a small place, like a small village, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a real positive, isn't it? Like, you 100%. Get to know people. And I guess when you like talk academically, do you feel like that comes across with your tutors and when you're in like your actual sort of lectures and things like that?
Definitely. And when you've got a course with only like 10 people on it, you get to know these people very well. It's a lot more personal relationship than maybe a bigger place would be, where you've got 100 people in a lecture hall.
Yeah, definitely.
Trying to balance with everyone.
Yeah, definitely. Katie, how does that sort of like reflect with yourself? How's your experience of?
So we're a lot more busier. Like, I think there's about 60 of us on our course, in our year group. So we might not know each other on a personal level, but we will know of each other. But for compared to another university in Leeds, we are also a small university. So our lecturers will know us on a personal level. If we're not in a lecture, we'll expect an email off them being like, where are you? Are you all right? But because it is a bit more of a bigger thing, we are expected to be a lot more independent, do it yourself. If you have an issue, you have to go to them type of thing.
I guess that is a quite a big comparison, isn't it, between your two types of institution, that one, whilst they're both, that step up is still being independent and doing your own learning and your own research. The expectation, sort of like the bigger, more traditional universities, is that it's on you. It's you to sort of, if you have a problem, to go up to it. Whereas for yourself, Al, being in that smaller sort of situation, I guess, are your tutors a bit more switched on and a bit more sort of, they notice if you're not attending and things like that?
I think they notice for sure. Ultimately, it's a two-way street, right?
Yeah.
If you care, they care about you.
Yeah, definitely.
And they'll stick the neck out for you. They'll try and help you as best they can.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you've got to put in to get out.
Yeah, what you put in is definitely what you get out of it.
100%.
Yeah, no.
Do you think you can both tell us a little bit about the transition from going from school and then going to higher education? What's been your experience with that transition?
For me, it was definitely a lot more scarier. I went from a more classroom personal feel to I had to find what rooms I was in. There wasn't anyone to help. It was very much do it yourself. Everything's on you. It's scarier. It's a lot more intense compared to like a A-level college where it was, oh, you've got your teacher stood behind you at all times, ready to support you. Well, when you came here, it was like, think of an idea, go do it.
Yeah. How do you think you've like acclimatized to that? Do you think you got used to it?
I think it was a big shock for me at first, and it took me like, I think about 6 hours sat in a library just looking over every piece of work I've previously done to kind of go, right, I'm a photographer, I belong here. And it was a bit of a, you fight to prove you belong here, you fight to prove you're a photographer here.
Yeah, that's definitely such an important point to make, that to distinguish that you do belong in this space and then to make it happen by fitting in.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more different compared to a smaller feel, because it is like you walk into a classroom of 60 others who are fighting to be top spot, who are constantly proving you all want to go into the same industry, you all want to go down a similar route.
Yeah,
you have to prove you are one of the best and you deserve to go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of sort of like you were feeling that, I guess, insecurity of sort of like that being that and that intimidation, but was there a lot of support you felt available to you like during that process? Sort of like, was there systems in place that you could go to if you needed that help?
So student welfare in this university is absolutely incredible. If you go, they will try and get you in on the same day, if not the same time. But I think it was more of, you had to be able to reach out. You had to acknowledge you were going through this like weakness time, and you were feeling these feelings, because if not, no one around you would know, especially seeing as it was at the start. It was, no one knew who you were. You had to make them connections.
Definitely. I'm quite sort of like, both of you are on quite creative and sort of equipment heavy courses. I'm really interested to know sort of, academically, you need a lot of equipment to do what you're learning and to do what you do. And I think that's across a lot of courses, whether it's needing sort of your music equipment, whether it's needing photography equipment, but equally whether it's needing certain software. And obviously, when you think about across all of the different types of courses, people need books, they need like laptops, they need, or there's so many different things that come into it, aren't there, that you need when you're doing the studying. So I want to hear like, what's the equipment like? What's the support like for you in your course?
I think for me, from the start, I needed Logic. that we're recording on now, as it goes.
Yeah.
Like, but that's Apple exclusive because Apple owns it. So you've got to buy the Mac as opposed to the Windows PC,
yeah,
which is naturally more expensive, right?
Yeah. And did you have support of that through the college? Did they have like the equipment available for you? Or
I bought it out of my student loan, really.
Yeah.
I got with a disabled student's allowance.
Yeah.
I got more. I think they put about 200 quid in to make that happen for me.
To get your equipment. So I think that's really important for students that are looking at going to study and they're stressing about that. There is loads of different, there is equipment available to you that you can sort of loan out and use, but also that like, there is support available financially for you to get like your own equipment and stuff. So I think that's sort of like a really, really useful thing to touch upon. Katie, what about yourself? Because obviously photography, you need a lot of equipment. So do you have that available to you?
So at Leeds Arts, we have like a camera. We call it a store. It's more of like this little shutter area that puts its shutter down at 4:30. But they have, I think it's up to like £1 million of equipment there that you rent out and you can book for a studio or I want to take this home for the night and that type of thing. But it's all on you.
Yeah.
You have to protect it. You have to guard it with your life because these cameras are worth a lot more than anyone will ever realise. And on that point, we have a lot of Macs here. I came from a HP background, like a Windows. I couldn't touch a Mac.
Yeah.
But it was, a lot of my friends helped me understand the Mac system.
You get a training and help to I guess that's with both of you, depending on sort of your level of knowledge of all those things that we were speaking about before. There's like there's course tutors, there's support groups, and there's other facilities in place across all institutions to help you really sort of get to grips with it. And if you haven't used the Mac before, there'll be IT people that can help you learn how to use a Mac and things like that. It's really good that you can get that support.
And people that swear by it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're very loyal to Apple now.
Yeah. I'm that person now.
I know, I'm that now.
I love my Mac.
Never going back.
To touch on again, I know we sort of spoke about class sizes, but how's your experience been of sort of lecture, seminar, tutorial sort of system? I imagine sort of beforehand you might have been in, like you say, like classroom situations where it was classes from sort of like morning to afternoon, a break in the middle for lunch sort of thing. I'm sure both your experiences are very different in that, but how do you prefer, do you like the like sort of the way that it can be lecture, seminar, which is a smaller group, and your tutorials? I will come to you first.
I think it's a lot more casual being in a smaller group for sure. And I'm on a very, very practical course. Mm-hmm. So very often they'll show us what to do and say, right, go explore, go and have a go and see where you end up.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to learn with a practical course is to get that experience in the world. I'm sure you'll agree.
Yeah, definitely.
So we will have a big like classroom type of atmosphere, which is known more as a lecture, where there's 60 of us. But then they'll separate us into groups of 30, 15, and it is a bit more personal. But we are more taught in that atmosphere about controversies, things that we need to write about and know about for our own work. And then it's kind of, right, we've finished for today, go home and do it, write it up.
Yeah.
Take some photos, do whatever. It's more of that type of atmosphere for us.
Yeah. So those are the things that you do within a classroom. So how do you do your work outside of the classroom? What does it look like typically for you?
For sure, for me, it's a lot of your own projects these days. It's go and get on with it. Like you say about your learner autonomy, just to hold yourself accountable for that, to go and do your own thing. That's the most important part. And you can bring it back to your tutor and say, this is what I've done. Can you give me some pointers, sort of thing?
For me, I'll book out a room in the library, plan shoots, write about what I want to do. I'll go pick up a camera, go home and get my own camera, and I'll go to where I want to do it, take some photos, and then have a form of like a mock PowerPoint to show my lecturer and be like, this is what I want to do, because most of the lecturers know the type of ideas, the route that you want to go down, and I'll show them and they'll be like, right, change this, do this, I'll see you in a week type of thing.
Yeah. Kind of touching on that, how do you find, you mentioned booking out a room in the library, both of you, I assume, like obviously both facilities will have some like really high-end sort of facilities for that, sort of libraries and learning resource centres, things like that. How do you find those? Do you think that was like a really useful thing to have when you stepped up into higher education, and how do you take advantage of those?
Definitely. Even in our building, we've got these little booths that you're almost in your own world. You put your headphones on, the world's switched off, no one bothers you.
Yeah. Do you always have access to them, or is it only certain
times? Yeah, any time, any day.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Always.
For Leeds Arts, we have, it shuts at like 9 or 8:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it, not like a typical uni student who will work into the night.
Yeah.
You do have a cut off, but it is just like a room where you can book. You go, oh, I want this room for 4 hours. You go into there and then you open the door and you're surrounded by photo books, graphic design books, anything, which is quite, I didn't really take advantage of it in first year, but now that our work is relied a lot more on personal research than I do.
Yeah, no, that's really, really cool. Kind of to go along with the academic side of it, a lot of people have sort of jobs and other responsibilities that they have. I don't know if you guys have anything that you do, like a job or anything along the side of your working, but if you do, how do you manage that? How do you find that to go alongside your studying?
So I'm not working, but I do some ambassador stuff, which involves getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, the other week we were together, I think I made about 70, 80 quid.
Yeah.
Just in a day's work.
And do you think that's like, again, student ambassadors are amazing. If you're looking at a university and studying, and a student ambassador is a super amazing and flexible way of earning some money whilst you learn. Do you find that like you can pick up that and drop that as and when you're like how busy you are on your course?
I think I'm never pushed into anything for sure. My learning always comes first.
Yeah.
Always.
Nice.
But it's just a case of balance. It's always, if I can do it, I always will do it.
Yeah, no.
Because it's fun, isn't it?
It's really cool. It is really fun.
Nice day out.
Especially doing podcasts.
Yeah. 100%. Here we are today.
We do this every week.
You've got me out of my lesson. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, no, no one else is going to hear this. What about yourself, Katie? Do you have a job or anything like that?
So I obviously do student ambassador, which is I pick up shifts when I want to do them and I do what I want. So I'll lean more towards the teaching shifts, the shifts that will let me be more working with kids, as that's what I want to go and do in the future.
Yeah.
But I also work for the company ShowSec, which does the arena and the O2 in Leeds.
Oh, cool.
So I can do night shifts there, which... Yeah. Best thing I can do as a student, because it means that I can attend my lectures in the morning, go to work at night, go home, have a full 12 hours sleep.
Yeah.
A lot of my class do work for them, because one joined the company and was like, guys, come on. So we all ended up joining, and it is, as a, like a student who I don't want to pay £60-70 for concert tickets all the time.
Of course.
I'll just work them. I'll get to see loads of artists.
Yeah, amazing.
Very strategic.
Very good bit of advice for music lovers. You guys have been amazing guests for this episode of the podcast. Luckily, we're going to be able to speak to you again next month on the next episode, which is really exciting. But whilst we're sort of wrapping up talking about the academic side of it, is there maybe one piece of advice that you would give to students that are looking to study, and like one piece of advice you give them academically, and maybe something that they can start doing now that will prepare them for when they're going to be studying and be in your position? I will come to you first.
I think for me, it's all about being consistent. If I can say I'm going to do an hour's work today, I'm going to set my timer on my phone and just work.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to get my ideas out there.
Yeah,
and the other thing, like when you're writing assignments, essays, your little dictate button in Word or similar software.
He's your best friend.
If I can just speak my mind and worry about putting it together later on, I'm not worried about sentence structure and things of that nature. I'm just focused on getting my ideas out.
Yeah,
that's such a good idea.
I really like that. And I really like the... we've had a lot of top tips on this podcast over the last few episodes, and no one said consistency.
Yes.
And I really like that. I really like
that. So insightful.
You don't have to work.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm going to like get that. It could be like on our slogan or something. Like that was,
be consistent.
Be consistent, yeah. Because you're right. If you sort of say, if you consistently are putting out 1-2 hours work sort of thing, it's of good quality, and you can set that time aside and do it, then it kind of comes into that timekeeping management sort of thing. It makes it a lot more manageable, and you're not sort of like doing sort of 8 hours of really trying to do stuff. Like, being consistent is really, really useful. So
I'm going to do an hour a day. I've done 7 hours in a week. I've probably finished the assignment, right?
Yes. That way you won't burn out.
Exactly.
That's a good way of looking at it. Cool. Katie, what would you say is your tips?
Don't be afraid to use Google Planner.
Yeah.
I will always plan. I'll put everything in my calendar. Even if my friend goes, oh, do you want to hang out for an hour? It's going in the calendar so I can plan around that. Like, it's always full by the end of the week, but at least I know that I'm making sure I've got shifts at work, I'm making sure I'm doing work, and I'll have a social life at the end of the day.
No, that's really cool. Thank you both so much for coming and talking to us about your experiences academically. As I say, really excited to talk to you about the social side of things Network Week. But that wraps up this episode of the Go Highway Shropshire Uni Connect podcast. Thank you so much, Leanne, for co-hosting with me as always.
And thank you to Max for mixing everything.
I wasn't going to miss you out this time, don't worry. as I say, next month we'll be back to finish off our double bill of student experience, and we're going to be talking about the social experience. So we look forward to speaking to you, and thank you for listening.